Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. Just turn to the person next to you and say, get ready to be shaken and get ready to be sent out. Amen. Grab a seat. Let's thank the band, shall we, for leading us in worship. That was brilliant. Thanks, guys. Whoa. How many of you love Jesus? How many of you just love Jesus? Five of you. Anybody else love Jesus? Anybody excited about Jesus? I hope you don't all stay sitting down for the whole message today, okay? I hope you'll be up on your feet, shouting, hollering. Even if I'm saying something quiet, you can still stand up and go, yeah, come on. So don't wait for me to get excited, because I already am. But don't wait for that. Don't just sit there and go, what's he going to talk about this morning? Will I like it? Won't I? Shall I make notes or not? Shall I text my mate or not? Put your phone away unless you're going to make notes, okay? Or look at the Bible. But don't just sit there and faff around on Facebook and Twitter and all of that. Just put your phone away, turn it off, and be in the room, not somewhere else this morning. Because when you're in the room this morning, you're going to be in here with God. If you're on your phone, you're not in the room with God. You're off somewhere else with somebody else. So let's get in the room today with God and what he wants to do, right? God wants to... That's a little bit more like it. We need a bit of a lower tone there. The blokes are a little bit more reserved than the ladies. That was a lady's response there, not a bloke's response. There was a ooh there. But we need a yeah from the blokes. So I want to hear the blokes more than the ladies today, okay? Come on, lads. Now we've got two choices. You can either live at the pace of the Holy Spirit in your life, or you can live at your own pace. What do you want? Do you really? Do we really want this pace of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Because that's the pace that God wants us to live at, the pace of the Holy Spirit. If we just do a real quick flick through the Bible, not literally like flicking through it, but just before you look at it. People of Israel in Egypt, in slavery, crying out, we need freedom, we need to get out of here. So God responded and he brought them out. And they were on the edge of the promised land in 10 days. They were there on the edge, 10 days after coming out of Egypt. They were about to step into the promises of God, the fulfillment of everything God was going to do. Bring them into the land of Canaan. They were 10 days out of Egypt. That was all. And they said, send the spies in, have a look, let's check it all out. And when they came back, 10 of them said, it's great. It does flow with milk and honey. Look at the size of the fruit that we brought back. But there's some issues, so we can't do it. Two of them said, come on, let's go. God has said it. We can go there. We don't know how it's going to work out, but let's go anyway. Because if God has said it, surely we can see it. But they all made a decision at the end of the day. Even Moses, who was in charge, decided to go with the people that wanted to moan and complain rather than going with the conviction of what God had actually said to him. So even Moses dipped out. So Joshua and Caleb were like, no, come on, let's go. And even Moses said, oh, no, let's go around the desert for 40 years. See, when you go in God's pace, something happens. When you go at our pace, it just elongates it. It can take years when we go at our pace. The number 10 in the Bible is perfection. It's divine order. It means completion. God wanted to fulfill, complete. His divine order was to bring them out of Egypt into their promised land in 10 days. That was his purpose. But it took 40 years. When Jesus was in his ministry, he was constantly surrendering himself every morning. He got up while it was dark. It says in Mark 1:35, while it was still dark, he went off to a place on his own to pray. Why? Because he wanted to live at God's pace, not his own. He had to submit himself, surrender himself and say, Father, I want to surrender to you today because there's things that you want to do, stuff that you want to do in people's lives. And I want to live at your pace today. So I surrender everything to you today so that whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, I'm available for whatever you want to do. I want to live at your pace today. When he called some of the disciples, he said, come follow me. He said, what was he saying? Come and follow me at my pace. Come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The word follow there means to keep in step with, to walk in line with, to keep up with. And so Jesus was going to walk and live at a certain pace, a certain tempo. And the disciples, for the first few weeks and months they were with Jesus, I reckon most of the time their jaw was on the floor because of what they were seeing take place through Jesus. Blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, cripples walking, lepers getting healed, demons being cast out of people, crowds of people hanging off every word that he said. Even though he didn't explain everything, he left them hanging. Waiting. What does that mean? Let's follow him and find out a bit more. What's he going to do next? Why? Because he was living at the pace of the Holy Spirit in his life. He wasn't living at his own pace. When he was living at the pace of the Holy Spirit, the disciples were like, man, we've got to keep up with this guy. What's going to happen next? What's going to go on now? And they had to keep up with him. But then we find, as he sends them out in ministry and they do whatever they do, it comes to that moment where they meet up in Galilee and he gives them the Great Commission. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And or at the end of Mark, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel and these signs will accompany those who believe. And what was he saying? He's saying, hey guys, there's a job to do. As you walk with me and seen how I've lived, now you've got to live out that in the same way. But before he released them, he said, but go and wait for the promise, the gift. Wait to be clothed with power from on high. How many days were they in the upper room praying? It's not a trick question. How many days were they there? I'm not giving you any clues. How many days were they there? 10. Well done, mate. You're so quick this morning. Brilliant. 10 days they were there. Why? I don't know. 10. God's order. God's divine order. 10 days of seeking him, praying, getting stuff sorted between them all. Some of the disciples weren't exactly the best of mates, even though they'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. They were still arguing who was going to be the greatest. Even when Jesus had done some phenomenal miracles and all sorts of things were happening, they were still chatting over at the side, even though he's doing all of that. I wonder which one of us is the greatest, you know? And they fell out a little bit. There was a bit of jealousy here and there between different ones. But in that 10 days, stuff got sorted. So in God's wisdom, in God's divine order, what happened 10 days later? The Holy Spirit got released. Why? Because God knew they were going to need the Spirit in their lives if they were going to live at his pace and not their own pace. Because their pace was arguing, factions, competition, falling out with each other. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be this, that and the other? That without the Holy Spirit, they were still living in a way that was at their pace and not the Holy Spirit's pace. And Jesus knew with a great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, they were going to need the Holy Spirit in order to live at the pace that God wanted to work out his purposes through them in their generation. And so on that day of Pentecost, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. What happened? Tongues of fire, they spilled out onto the streets, they began to preach the gospel. How many people got saved that first day? 3,000. How many got saved that first day? 3,000. That's the Holy Spirit's pace. What happened as a result? We see in Acts 2:42, it says they were devoted to the word, to sharing of life, to breaking of bread and to prayer. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit's pace in their life. None of us will be devoted to the word without the Holy Spirit. None of us want to share life with each other without the Holy Spirit, because we all like our space, don't we? We all like our own little bits and pieces and, you know, I want my space, I want my time, I want this, that and the other. But yet, the way the Holy Spirit was moving, he broke all the walls down in their lives. It says in Acts 2:42 that they're in each other's homes every day. They were breaking bread, they were eating together, they were sharing life together. Because the Holy Spirit had dealt with them living at their pace, they were now living at the pace of the Holy Spirit. They were breaking bread every day. They were devoted to prayer. Man, I don't know about you. Without the Holy Spirit, I can't pray. I haven't got a clue. And so we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to enable us to pray, enable us to pray at God's pace and not our own. And then we see as the early church continues on and the growth they have and the miracles and the fear, the reverence that came, not just on the church, but everybody around the church. Why? Because they were living at the pace of the Holy Spirit, not at their own pace. How many of you are seeing the things that you want to see that are in your heart to see? How many of you are totally fulfilled in everything that you're seeing, God's promises in your life, what's happening in your family, what's happening in your friends, what's happening around your life? How many are completely satisfied and you're just like, ah, bisto, everything is just brilliant. How many of you are like that? Or how many of you have got a little sense of something inside? I want to see more. I want to see more. I want to see more. I know there's more. I know there's more. I need to see this in my family, this in my friends, this in my situation. And, you know, and God challenged me over the last few days with all of this. He said, Clive, where you're not seeing what I want you to see, I want to move you from your pace to my pace. Because I want you to live in the pace of my spirit, not in the pace of your own understanding of your own thoughts. It's like, wow, okay, God, I want to live in the pace of your Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can run ahead of God. Because the pace of the Holy Spirit won't leave you behind down there. He'll always work in us in a way that enables us to walk with him and keep up with him. But there'll always, when you're moving at the pace of the Holy Spirit, there's something on the inside of you that says, come on, Jesus, come on, God, there's more, there's more, there's more. Because when you're living at the pace of the Holy Spirit, there is a total fulfillment and contentment in terms of total well-being, but yet at the same time, there's a hunger for more. There's a longing for more. But it's not a longing of frustration, it's a longing of desire. It's not something where stuff's just not happening. I'm really frustrated. It's, God, you've promised me this. You've said that. I'm in total peace. And I'm reaching out for that. I speak that into being. I command that release or whatever it might be in your situation. Because why? We're living at the pace of the Holy Spirit. Now, God has said some things to us this year. Little recap now, okay? God has said some things to us as a church this year about living as a sent people. And he said, in order to live as a sent people, to be effective and fruitful, we've got to go deeper to go further. We're going to be doing this all year and into next year. This is about living as a sent people, going deeper to go further. And one of the ways he said about going deeper was to get the roots of our life, the root of our relationship with him going deeper. The deeper the roots, the greater the fruit, or the more fruitful we are in our lives. The more, not just addition, but multiplication there'll be of fruitfulness. And one of the ways God said is, I want you to get into the Word in a fresh way. So we're reading through different books in the New Testament every month, you know, a chapter a day or whatever it is. And we're doing SOAP. S-O-A-P, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer, okay? So when we get into the Word every day, we want to go deeper to go further in the things of God. So the first part of that, God's been saying, let's get into the Word. Let's read the Word. Let's read Scripture because I want to speak to you through my Word. So there's observation. There's revelation. God is speaking. And then we want to journal. We want to write down, what is God saying in my life? Why? Because we want to be self-feeders. We don't want to be dependent on a Sunday morning message once a week. We want to be self-feeders because this is about relationship with God. This is about you and I plugging in with God, knowing his voice, hearing his voice, knowing what he's saying to you and me every day, that we're literally living on the bread of life. We're living on the word of life. We're drawing on who he is, saying, God, I can't live today without you, because there is a world out there that is dying and doesn't know God. And we have the bread of life, the word of life, the living God on the inside of us. And we don't want to tip God with our lives and our time, just saying, God, I'll fit you in when it works for me. We want to be first of the day saying, God, I surrender to you. I submit to you. I come under the lordship of your word. I want to know you. I want to hear from you. Speak to me today. I'm not just going to listen. I'm going to write it down, because anything worth doing, put it on paper. Anything that's worth hearing, it's worth writing down. Write down what God's saying. Put it in a journal every day. Write the date, the chapter. What's God saying to me? What does that mean for my life? You might even write down, what have I got? What do I need to do today in response to that? So Scripture, the Word, observation, the revelation, application, what does it mean? And then prayer. Father, I just surrender afresh. I want to pray through that. I speak that over my life, my family, whatever it might be. Father, I thank you for enabling me to live in that way today. Sometimes God will encourage you. Sometimes he'll challenge you. He'll do the both probably every day. We've got a very Western grace, 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 grace orientated gospel these days, where we just want God to encourage us all the time. But if sometimes God needs to say something challenging to us to go, and we go, oh, yeah, yeah, right, right, right. Sorry, Father, I'm living at my pace, not your pace. I'm living in, what's living at our pace is living in ourselves. It's more self than spirit. And living at God's pace is living in the spirit. And God knows we can't do that. That's why he's given us his spirit to enable us to do that. So we're doing soap. We're getting into the word. We want to grow. We want to go deeper so that we go further. God has spoken to us about praying, given us faith objectives. So if you haven't got any of these, this is April now, and we're 3.5 months into this year. And maybe some of you are sitting here going, I didn't know we were doing soap. Or what faith objectives, what are they? And God has given us some faith objectives. Now, what are our faith objectives? It's the things that he speaks to us about that he wants to see happen through our lives. Your husband, if he's not saved, needs to be saved. Your wife, if she's not saved, God wants to save her. Your kids, if they're not saved. Your parents or whatever. Could be family, another family member. Or you need a breakthrough in some way, some kind of healing or whatever it might be. There's faith objectives. Faith always has an objective. If there's no objective, we don't need any faith. Because faith is to overcome. Faith is to see God's thing happen where it's not happening. Faith enables something to happen where nothing's happening. I don't want to jump into the river of somebody else's flow and somebody else's life. I want to be in whatever flow God wants to be in my life. So I don't look anywhere else and say, well, I wish we were in that flow or that flow. No, we've got to dig a well where we are so that we live in the flow of what God's doing here amongst us and through us. We can be encouraged by other people, strengthened by that. And from a kingdom point of view, we're all together moving in the things of God. But I don't want to try and get something from somewhere else. It's like, God, if you're here, then I can see something fresh happening in my life every day. We can see something happening in our lives together in a fresh way. And so God has spoken about faith objectives, faith objectives. I don't want to jump into somebody else's river of fruitfulness. I want to see God work in the barrenness that's around my life in terms of where people need to be saved or healed or stuff needs to happen. And God says, I'm speaking to you into your life every day so that the faith that is at work in you and what you're living with on the inside is going to bring life where there's no life around you. Because that's what I've called you to be, a life bringer, a life giver, somebody who brings hope and life into other people's lives. I hope God is shaking you in your chair this morning. Because God wants to shake us out of any place of complacency, apathy, where we're just like, okay, God, what's next? What's happening next? Will it be good? Will it not be? It's like God saying, come on, stir up your spirit. Stir up the gift that is on the inside of you this morning as a believer, as a child of God, as part of this church. Stir up the spirit that is on the inside of you. So these faith objectives, they're things that God wants to do. One of the parts of our praying into our faith objectives is the first 7 days of every month. We're praying 24/7, right? And what we're going to do in May, the first 7 days of May, as well as praying 24/7, we're going to have 3 encounter nights on the 3rd, 4th and 5th, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday here in Foundry Lane for all the 3 congregations to come together. So we're going to have 3 encounter nights where it's like we're not just going to be praying here and there in different hours, different ones of us, but actually we're going to come together because, God, we want to encounter you. We want to live at the pace that you are living at. We want you to accelerate us into the pace that you're living at so that as a body we're all living and moving at that pace that you want us to be moving at. Why? Because there's a much bigger thing at stake than just our own lives. We need a nation that needs God. We have a nation that needs God. And part of our vision is to see the turning of the tide of a godless society. But also, as part of that mission that God has given us, we've got a 25-mile radius. God spoke to us out of the feeding of the 5,000 saying that we're to reach 5,000 households in this 25-mile radius. That's 15 to 20,000 people that we need to reach as a church with the gospel. There's 1.5 million people in our 25-mile radius. So 15 to 20,000 is literally 0.1%. So God's just saying, as a church, I want you to reach 0.1% of your 25-mile radius. That's 20,000 people. The other 99.9%, I'm going to get other churches to reach all of that lot. But I want you to reach 0.1%. That's 20,000. That's I don't know how many congregations and everything else to go with it. But it's lives that don't know Christ. It's people that are living in all kinds of rubbish in their lives. And it's like God saying, you've got a mission, guys. You've got a mission. You've got a mission. And this is why I'm getting you to go deeper, to go further. This is why I'm calling you to have faith objective. This is why I want you to be praying 24/7, the first week of every month, praying into that month. So I do all the things that I want to do in that month. I want you to encounter me because I want you to go deeper so you can go further. We're also going to have some fasting during that week as well. God's been challenging me. He said, Clive, if you want to live at my pace, then you can't live according to your preferences. If you're going to live at my pace, then you've got to do things my way. And so therefore, there might be some cost in one sense where God says, hey guys, I want you to fast a bit more. Because stuff happens when we fast and pray. It's got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Just us saying, oh, let's fast, it's just a good work. But when God says, I want you to fast and I want you to give me this time, then why? Because there's going to be breakthroughs. There's going to be a release. There's going to be acceleration. And I don't know about you, but I want to be accelerated to live at the pace that God wants me to live at. And therefore, at the pace that God wants us to live as a church. I don't want to settle for anything less than what God wants to do, His best. So why do we have faith objectives? To win the one person, the one couple, the one family, the one household. We're at a tipping point, I believe, as a church. We're at a tipping point. God has been releasing something fresh this year. And there's a sense of something new, something fresh. And I believe God's saying, as you respond to what I'm saying, you're going to have that tipping point. And at times it feels like, you know, for me, I feel like we're pushing water uphill at times. And we know that's because there's a resistance in the spirit to everything God wants to do. But also, I just believe God's saying, as we respond to what He's saying, we're going to have that tipping point, and the momentum of what He does then accelerates and increases. And then we begin to move in the pace of God in a fresh way, in a way that is less hindered or less whatever. Yes, there's still the enemy to take out on the way, but we're going to focus on what God's doing, not what the enemy's doing. And as we go at God's pace, then He deals with the enemy. He routs the enemy. He stuffs the enemy. But we walk at His pace. But it will require faith. It will require rising up. It will require speaking and commanding and decreeing and releasing. Why? Because that's what He says we need to be and do as believers. To see breakthroughs. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do. If we live at the Holy Spirit's pace, we see the Holy Spirit fruit. If we live at our pace, we see our fruit. Now, just really quickly, because we're going to pray. We're all individuals in the room, but yet we're one body. And the challenge, especially in our Western culture, when we're born again, we get saved into Christ. We become one with Christ. But also, the Bible talks about us as the body of Christ. And then we also get saved into the body of which Christ is the head. And as the body, each one of us has a part. We are a part, a member, whatever, you know, the analogy that Paul gives. We all have a part to play. We're all significant. We all, in terms of what God does, your life matters. That's part of our one of our cultural things, isn't it? That our life matters. You matter. You're significant. Your prayer matters. Your faith matters. Your relationships matter. Your finances matter. Your marriage matters. Your family matters. Everything matters. And God wants to move us as a people. Not just so that we're moving as a people, but because there's things He wants to do through us as a people for many people in this 25-mile radius. The challenge in our Western culture is not living for ourselves in any way, but living for Him. Is that daily surrender, that daily submission. But even not living as individuals, but living as a body. That's like, it has to be the Holy Spirit. I mean, even though the culture back when the early church started, they were much more family-centered than our culture is these days. But yet they needed the Holy Spirit to actually be devoted to one another, to be devoted to the Word and to prayer and all those things. They needed the Holy Spirit in the same way because they couldn't do it either. And part of our response is God, I want to live at your pace, not mine. Now, at first that sounds exciting, but the first part of living at His pace is saying, God, I surrender. I want to give up my individuality in terms of living me, my, and I. Or what does that mean for me? or that self-centeredness that so easily that we can live with. And some of that self-centeredness isn't just selfish. It's just, even as Christians, some of us have been Christians for many years. You know, when God does something fresh in your life and what he shows you and reveals to you, you realize, wow, it feels like I haven't been living in the way that God wanted, because he reveals something fresh about himself. And so you say, God, I want to step into that. I want to walk with you in a new way. And suddenly what you were living, you think, why have I stayed there for that long? Why did I keep in that place for so long? It's only because God's revealed something more of who he is, and something's impacted your life, that you surrender and then live in a fresh way with God. It's not that what you were living was rubbish. It's just God does more, and therefore you live more surrendered, because it's a walk, right? That's how it works. It's not suddenly one day I was like this and the next day, whoa, it's a growth thing that happens. It's a growth thing. But that growth is determined by how you and I respond to God, how quickly we respond to God. And in the body, we want to, I've just written a couple of things here. The Holy Spirit at pace works in the individual as part of the whole corporate body. The word corporate means to be united, combined, to be one. And so God works in the individual as part of the whole united, combined, one body, okay? But the individual has a responsibility to the body to be moving with the Holy Spirit at the pace the Holy Spirit wants to move in their life personally. And as we understand we have a responsibility in our own life, that's why God is saying, go deeper, to go further. Get into the Word. Listen to what I'm saying. Respond to me. Engage with a prayer. Let me do something fresh and new. Let me take you on an adventure. Let me accelerate what I'm doing in your life. And as we understand we have a responsibility as part of the body to live in that way, then it brings fuel. It brings energy. It brings life into the body. So there's a greater energema, a greater release of the power and the life of the Holy Spirit in the body. Now that's a challenge to us in our lives, because it's like, Clive, I like it when you encourage me, but now you're challenging me. But I'm only challenging you because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in me. And I'm saying, God, I surrender afresh today, this morning. I want to be under your lordship, whatever that looks like, whatever that means in terms of the body. So we've got a mission. We've got some stuff that God wants to do. There's a lot of people out there that need saving, becoming disciples. We're not talking about just bums on seats. We're talking about disciples. People who come to know Christ, they begin to grow, and they begin to then grow others who begin to grow. But it starts with us in the room here, where we're seeking to see other people come to Christ. We're seeking to see other people grow so that they can see others grow. If we're going to see 5,000 households or more getting saved, then we need to grow here. As a congregation, we need to, our next step must be at least 1,000 people. Not bums on seats on a Sunday, but 1,000 disciples. People that are going deeper to go further. People who understand that God is moving and working. And we want to surrender our lives to whatever God's doing. Whatever your world looks like, wherever you are, that you're moving and living at the pace of the Holy Spirit in that world. But then together as a body of people, we're moving in the way that God wants to move together. I'm not just chucking that number out and saying, I'd like a church of 1,000 people. No, I want to see 5,000 households getting saved and added. That means congregations of 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000. That's what it means in terms of numbers, but it's about people becoming disciples, not just bums on seats on a Sunday. I'd rather have 500 disciples that are radical and going for it and seeing God move in incredible ways than 2,000 or 3,000 people that just rock up on a Sunday, but they're just Sunday Christians, not disciples. So what's God doing? He's saying, I want you to be disciples. I've called you to be disciples. I've called you to feed in my word, to feed on me every day. I've called you to be people of prayer. I've called you to share your testimony, be a witness. Of what does it mean to disciple somebody? In its absolutely simplest form, it's just show someone. That's it. Show someone. The Great Commission was go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. What was he saying? Showing them, teach them, show them. The word teach there isn't just what we're doing now, somebody gobbing on from a stage at everybody, but what the word teach there, the word teach there is to show by example with words as well. It's the whole thing, words and action, words and action. So to disciple somebody is lit, it's as simple as this, just show someone. The challenge for any of us is this. You grow spiritually, word, worship, and prayer. We grow relationally in our relationships, and then we grow in our witness, the mission. There's three parts to our lives as a believer. Three parts to the church: spiritual, relational, missional. Any church. any believer. We grow spiritually with God, we grow relationally with each other, then we grow in our mission to the world. That's a disciple of Jesus, okay? A disciple of Jesus is not somebody who's just having a quiet time and reading the Bible and growing spiritually. That's a third of it. But it's relationships. What do our relationships look like? Are they healthy? Then the mission, the outreach, whatever we do, personal witness, corporate witness, all of that. So what does it mean to show someone? Well, if I was discipling somebody, okay, what I'm saying is I want to show you how to read the Bible. See, if you're reading daily, you're getting doing soap, what are you doing? You're just reading the Bible. You're hearing God's voice. You're writing something down and what you do. So what can you? You show somebody else. I can help you with that, mate. So you're showing somebody how to get in the Word, how to pray, how to talk to God. If you can pray and talk to God, you can show somebody else, right? And then they begin to engage, hear from God, learn how to pray and that sort of stuff, okay? Do you know how to worship? Two of you, great. Worship, you know, when you come, you just, I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I'm going to be the worship leader in my row this week. Amen. So whatever row you're in, you're the worship leader. So these guys, they might have an anointing to lead worship in a corporate setting, right? That's why they're up here doing that, or that, or whatever they're doing, or that. But you're a worship leader in your row. So wherever you are, you're not waiting for somebody else to trigger. You're the worship leader there in your row. You're like, right, I'm going to lead worship for all the people around me. And people around you are going to go, wait a minute, what's happened to him? What's happened to her? She's got her hands in the air. And they're going for it, and they're singing, they're doing whatever. Great, lead worship wherever you are. Imagine if all of us see ourselves as worship leaders, what would this place look like on a Sunday? What would it look like in your home, in your life? But you see, if... Time's gone, but anyway, I'll keep going for a couple of minutes. Is that all right? Yeah. Spiritually, you're growing that way. You can show somebody else how to do that. Relationally, this is probably a bit more of a challenge. To show others how to have relationships. Have a good marriage. How to look after parent your kids. How to honour your parents the other way up. All of those things. How to have good friendships. You see, making a disciple is literally just showing somebody how to live. You don't need to know the Bible back to front. You don't need to go on a 25-month discipleship course to know how to disciple somebody. The starting point is just saying, hey, I know Jesus. You're giving your life to him. I just want to show you and help disciple you. So I'm going to help you discover more of who Jesus is in here. Because I just read the Bible every day. I might only do a chapter, but that's fine. But God's speaking to me. He can speak to you in one verse and blow your world wide open. But so I'm just going to help you get to know Jesus by reading the Word. But also I'm going to help you with your marriage. Because now the challenge is, if you start showing somebody, then you've got to make sure what you're showing him is what you're living. But one of the best ways to be a disciple of Jesus is to disciple somebody else, because it helps you. Being the pastor of the church, it disciples me. You guys disciple me even though you don't realize it. There's stuff that I don't do because I don't want to do it. But it's a massive, massive help knowing there's loads and loads of people that are wanting to live and serve God. And if you're going to stand up and say anything or whatever, or lead anybody, then it's like, man, I better be living this thing more than anybody else is living this thing. And so therefore, it's like, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to go near any of that sort of stuff, because that's got nothing to do with walking with God and being a disciple or whatever it might be. And so therefore, what's my marriage like? What's my relationship like with my kids? What am I doing with my finances? What are they like? Are they healthy or not? Or have I got loads of debt? I haven't got any debt. And, it's what, how am I living? What are my relationships like? What are my friendships like? What's my witness like? All that kind of stuff. And it's a challenge, isn't it, if we're going to disciple others. But it's not about just learning a load of information that, well, I've never been discipled, so I can't disciple anybody else. If you're reading the Bible and you're hearing God, you can show somebody else. If your marriage is healthy, you can show somebody else. If it's not, then we can help you. Okay, we want to help you have a healthy marriage. Then you can begin to help others have a healthy marriage. So there's some people in the church, well, there's lots of people in the church who've got healthy marriages. So they can help people that are struggling or challenged in different ways. That's discipleship. It's showing somebody how to live and the things of God. So that's all it is. So let's just debunk what making a disciple is, right? There's some people that are teachers of the word. And sometimes what we think is, in order to make a disciple, we've got to be a teacher of the word. And we need to know it inside out and back to front. No, you just need to be one step ahead of the person that you're discipling. You can show them how to know God, how to have good relationships, how to be a witness in those things. If you're not good at any of those things, you say, I need help in that myself. And if you're rubbish at witnessing or sharing your testimony or your faith or whatever, and you think, I know, somebody else is brilliant at that, they're always talking about, go and have a chat with them. Can you help me? Can you help me in this part of my life? And can you actually invest in me? I want to be better. So when somebody else helps you, they're discipling you. They're helping you. That's what discipleship is. Are you okay? Let's stand together. Because time's kind of gone. Now, you're right. I feel like I've battered everybody for the last 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Today's sign up Sunday, right? Getting plugged into small groups and getting involved in the life of the church. Yeah. On Sunday, we just turn up for a gathering, for a meeting, okay? But where we build relationships and where we actually really live the life of who we are as a church is in much smaller settings, in small groups, where we live in relationship, we're encouraging, we're building, we're there to serve, give, bless others. We're here to sharpen and disciple and all that kind of stuff. So I want to encourage everybody to be part of a small group. So there's sign up Sundays and there's all kinds of different small groups. You've got a leaflet with you on your chair and I could read some out. There's everything from sports related things to more Bible study based things, prayer related things, more outreach, evangelistic kind of things. There's all kinds of different types of small groups that are there. But I want to encourage you, get plugged in, because we don't live life in rows, we live life in circles. Amen. When you're at home with your family and you're having dinner, do you all sit in a straight line like that? Have you just got one of these massive, long, long dining tables with a bench one side, and everybody sits that side, and you look down after a few weeks and you're like, I didn't realise I had a brother, yeah, how long have I had a brother? Oh, you know, and oh, you're my mum, oh, I wondered who that was, yeah, you're down there. When you sit and eat, you sit around something, don't you? You sit around a table. It might be square, but you understand. You're living around the thing. Why? Because you want to chat. You want to engage. Why? Because we do life round circles. In your living room, in your lounge at home, do you just have sofas or chairs all along one wall and you all stare at the wall in front of you? If you do, rearrange your lounge, okay? It doesn't help with relationships. If you have one row of chairs and a TV on the wall and there's nothing else in the room, change it. Put a few other chairs around, even if you've got a few bean bags. Do something, but don't just sit in a row. Why? Because life was not meant to be lived in rows. It's lived in circles. That's how we do life. What's a small group all about? It's not about living in rows. That's Sunday morning. But Monday to Saturday or Sunday afternoon onwards, this 2 hours or so we're together in the morning, it's living in rows with a bit of a touch point with people in the hub afterwards. But where we live life in circles is what we do for the rest of the week, how we engage with one another, how we help disciple each other, encourage one another, spark each other, iron sharpens iron. So I want to encourage you, get involved in a living life in circles today, in a small group, in some way or other, okay? Even if you look and say, well, I don't know if there's anything that really floats my boat. Well, just go to something, get involved in something. Why? Because it's people, it's relationship. Because whatever people get saved into, that's what they become. And we want to be a people who are sharing and doing life together. So we want to live in circles and not rows. Let's just pray for a minute. This probably won't help you to concentrate in prayer, but imagine we're one massive cake. Big old, really nice tasting chocolate cake, right? And that chocolate cake is made up of as many people as we are in the room today or in all the congregations. When you take a slice of that chocolate cake, is it going to taste like a carrot cake? No. Is it going to taste like something else? No, it's going to taste, that one slice will taste like the rest of the cake. Is that right? Because it's part of something bigger than itself. It has the same ingredients in it, the same flavor, taste, the same heart, the same spirit, the same kind of DNA that is at work in that one slice of cake as it is in the rest of it. And God builds us together as a body of people. So no matter who we are, is in, that we have the same heart, the same spirit, that we have the same taste and flavor in our lives. And God wants to cultivate that, and he cultivates that in relationship. Sharing life, doing life together. You'd be amazed if you get connected with people, if you're not already. What can begin to happen, the people you can get to know, the stuff that is going on in their lives that can so bless you and get connected into. That's where all the pastoral care happens, through the small groups. If people aren't in small groups, it's difficult to care for people because we don't know where people are. There was somebody, I won't say that. So let's just pray. Firstly, say, Father, thank you for shaking me this morning. Just say, thank you for shaking me so that you can send me. Thank you for shaking me so that you can send me. Send me into the rest of the body. Send me out into my neighbours, my community, into my workplace, the place where you've called me, where I live in my life. No matter where your life is being lived at the moment during the week, God has called you to be there. God's hand is upon you to be there. His grace is on you for that place, that workplace, that business. You might be a mum that at the moment, during this season, you're more based at home. Mate, that is a massive calling, a massive, what an opportunity to invest in your kids. You know, that you might be at home with your kids and you think, well, I've just finished work and my world's changing. That's okay. This season that God's got you in is where he wants you to be. Imagine just see yourself investing into your kids. What an honour to be able to invest in their life that's going to shape them for the rest of their lives. That's such a privilege to be a mum. To have that during this season of your life, to invest into your kids. Let your husband go out and work hard and earn the money. Say, go on, get out there and earn the money so I can look after the kids and invest in them or whatever. As a church, we want to invest in our kids and in the younger generation. We've got a men's launch next Saturday night. We're going to be having loads of stuff happening for blokes over this year and into next year. And at the heart of that's going to be bloke small groups, discipling. So guys, sign up for a bloke small group. And next Saturday night, we're going to talk about what's going to be happening, other different things throughout the year, events and other stuff that are going to be going on to build relationships, connect together, invite on mates to, see people getting saved as well, getting discipled, a whole load of different things because we've got to get moving. We've got to go at God's pace, not our own. So maybe just say, God, now I've heard the word. I could be really honest with you. Tell him what pace you want to live at, his or yours, in response to the word. Because his pace is getting into the word. His pace is beginning to give yourself in prayer in the way that God's been speaking to us about. His pace is just listening to him and doing whatever he says, being available, ready to respond. His pace might be needing to adjust something in your life and deal with something in your marriage. His pace might need sorting something in your family with one of your kids, or it might be some of you going to your parents and sorting something with them. His pace might be a relationship that needs reconnecting, reconciling. His pace might be whatever it is. But God, I want to live at your pace. I don't want to live at mine. So, Father, I thank you in these coming days, these coming weeks, as you continue to work and move amongst us as a church, that we'll go at your pace, not our own. Every Tuesday and Thursday morning between 6 and 7 a.m. in here, I'm going to be here, and anybody who wants to, this is for any of us, we want to accelerate into God's pace. We're going to have an hour of just seeking God, meeting with God. They'll be different each morning, Tuesday and Thursday morning, 6 till 7. If you want to be here just to seek God and break, you can come Tuesday or Thursday or both or whatever works in your for your timetable. But I'm going to be here every Tuesday and Thursday for an hour saying, God, I want to meet with you. I want to see you accelerate what you're doing in my life. Some of that might be worship. Some of that will be prayer. Some of that will be seeking God. Whatever it might look like, but it's like, God, I want to move forward. I want to accelerate that. And anybody that wants to join me, will be here 6 till 7. So, Father, I thank you for your grace today. Sorry, Father, for the guys that have gone over time a bit. Kids need to get collecting from our groups and everything. But, Father, I thank you just that you accelerate what you're doing amongst us in these days at this time. Father, I thank you that everything that is from you this morning would rest in us and would work in our hearts. Anything that's not of you, it's just my enthusiasm that wasn't yours. It would just drop off and be forgotten. But whatever you said this morning into our hearts and lives, that would resound, it would be sealed, it would accelerate, it would even annoy us at times because you keep reminding us of what you said and what your voice was into our hearts and lives this morning. So Father, I thank you for what you've done amongst the kids today, the children, the young people, and we see the fruit of that in all of our lives as a church. We praise your awesome name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.